Y'all do not understand how upset I am right now. I literally had to restart this episode because the microphone turned off 32 minutes into this episode. So now I gotta redo this episode and I'm hot because I have to redo it. I was gonna talk about the whole Nolan and Xavier Wells, but since I talked about it when the microphone was turned off, I'm going to talk about that at the end of the show and get into the questions that I was going to get into from the comment section of the last episode where Brother Alexander Nicastro asked what was my opinion on owning a gun. I want to get my pistol permit, but I do not want to provoke the Most High and make him think I don't trust him. I enjoy shooting targets and would like to have my own, but I do not fear for my life. I know he will protect me and won't put me in a situation where I need one. Everything you look up online is Christians, and they don't understand. They are in a false doctrine, so not helpful. Any advice would be appreciated. Much love. This is not only to me. This is also for the listeners of this show. Personally, I don't think you need one for home defense, but if you like to shoot guns, shoot guns. If you like to go to the shooting range, go to the shooting range and shoot. As long as the Most High doesn't see into your heart that you're using these weapons to defend your household, I mean, that is a door that you do not want to open. You don't want the pride of having guns or weapons and ammo in your household as the sole purpose of your defense. Especially when you already known of scripture and how the strong man cannot be removed from a righteous house if he is being obedient to the Most High's Torah, statutes, ordinances, feast days, and all things that come with that Torah. I mean, the Israelites had swords, they had weapons, they had daggers, so it's really no difference. It's just the weapons changed over time. Like, to the Most High, a sword is no different from a gun. A bow is no different from a gun. And Jacob had a bow. Jacob could shoot the bow. So, obviously, they had weapons in their household the whole entire time. They chose to use these weapons when the Most High raised them up to take out some of the Canaanite kings and those round about them as judgment for raping their sister Dinah. I've had guns before, but I don't have them anymore. I had them in the days of when I was in the league. I had a 50 cal Desert Eagle that had 9 shots, and it was an impossible gun to shoot because the kickback was so strong and the muzzle elongated so far that the next bullet up would jam or get lodged outside or half in and half outside the weapon. So it was like it was a pointless gun to shoot. Like, obviously, you're only shooting that thing one time. You would probably take somebody's whole chest out with just that gun. The muzzle flash is amazing. I remember I was at a shooting range in Kansas City, and I was shooting alongside cops. So every time I shot that thing, the cops kept looking down to see where I was shooting, and they were just staring at me how big the muzzle was. Cause it was a nickel plated Desert Eagle 50 cal. So the gun is big, and when it's nickel plated, that thing shines. And when they was just impressed the fact that I was trying to shoot that thing with one hand, but it has some kick. I had an AR-15. I had 2 P-89 Rugers, which was really a soft triggered gun. Those things were easy to pull. A Glock, a Beretta, a Tommy gun without the drum kit because obviously they couldn't sell the drum kit because it was illegal. I never shot the Tommy gun before. I had a hunting rifle, a 12-gauge, and a sawed-off shotgun, pump action. And, of course, my first arrest in Kansas City, I had to pretty much get rid of all my guns. But that's why I don't have them now, because I don't even lock my door sometimes. So my trust is solely on, my security is trusted upon the Most High Yahuwah. If he wanted to remove me off this earth, there's no amount of guns that could ever stop him from doing his pleasure. If he wanted to send people into my house, there would be nothing I could do to stop it. It don't matter how many doors I've locked. It don't matter how many times I tried to insulate myself within my house. It don't matter. If the Most High wants you, he will get you. So I trusted him with my security, with my life. So if you like to shoot, shoot. If you like to go to the range, go to the range. There's nothing wrong with that. Like I said, the Israelites had weapons in their houses, but they didn't use these weapons as a means of defense when they had the Most High. And they didn't use these weapons, you know, unrighteously when it came to war. Like, they just didn't go provoking and looking or seeking out war with weapons. You know, they is only when they were called. So do what you feel like you want to do. I mean, it's, you know, he's not going to micromanage us. I would say just be careful. You know, if you have kids in the house, or if you know what to do when it comes to safety. So I'm pretty sure others would feel the same way. I've had brothers on this show that talked about them having guns, or already having guns because they were close to military, or came out of the army, or just had it recreationally. I mean, people got guns now. I mean, you see how it works out for people who have guns in their car and they get stopped and they ask them if they had guns, and they for some reason some entity takes over their soul and they pull out these guns and try to battle out with cops. But you already know the end result with that. But the Most High will cover us. And when it's time for you to use the weapon, the Most High will either bring it to you, or he will raise you up in courage to use it. The next question was, what's the significance of oil? Brother Jean-Marc asked, what's the significance of oil? Why do you think oil was used to anoint? Was the water baptism a replacement for the anointing oil during Yahushua time, or there is no connection between the two? And is the anointing oil being misused in modern church today? Yes, the modern church misuses anointing oil and holy water. Other than, I haven't found anything about holy water other than when it's used as a cleansing when a woman is accused of being an adulteress. And I think it's in the book of Numbers that I talked about this before. The anointing oil is talked about in Exodus. But before I get to Exodus, if you ever heard of the pastor, Pastor Popoff, I think his name's Peter Popoff. I know it's Popoff. And he was caught, if you ever seen the movie Leap of Faith, I think it was with Martin Short. He pretends to be a pastor and he goes from town to town and he's really hustling, weak believers. So he came up with a scheme where they would go into a small town, learn all the people, if they had ailments, if they had surgeries, if they were suffering through something, they would learn it. And then they would pick out people from the audience. And there was a woman with a headset on, and she's like, "Oh, go to such and such such. This person is suffering with an illness, and just tell them that, that God or the Lord is going to save them out of their illness." So it made it seem like he was a prophetic pastor that was able, through the Ruach HaKodesh, to know what was ailing these people. So he puts on this whole show. Of course, he has a black choir. He puts on this whole show, and just like Peter Popoff did, he did the same thing. They learned what these old people had problems with. And so he would call on to them from the headset that he was, from what he was hearing in the headset. Somebody caught on to it. Well, actually, the amazing Randy did a Netflix show. He had a Netflix show about this, how he exposed, I think it's on Peacock too, how he exposed Peter Popoff by sending in a guy who could pick up a radio frequency of really Peter Popoff's wife telling the information to Popoff, and him bringing up the guest and saying, "Hey, I know you have problems with cancer, but the Most High is going to work it out for you if you donate this money." And that's how he was making his money, by seeing he was prophetic. Now, after he got busted, and this was like in the 80s, after he got busted, he went away a little bit. He came back out, and now he sells holy water, the Popoff holy water. And this is one of the commercials for it.
has always been to be in health and to prosper, and he's using the miracle spring water to do just that.
I did use the miracle spring water, and a few days later, hallelujah, I received a check from my employer for over $4,000.
And I called and ordered the miracle spring water, and you told me I was going to get $14,000. You told me when I was going to get it, and I received it.
Say, send for the spring water, and that it will break through. And I tell you, a check came in the mail for 100 G's. Now my house is paid for.
And God has blessed me with over $25,000.
Let me send you your free packet of miracle spring water. It's absolutely free, no obligation. Take a moment to jot down the number on your screen and call now. I'll send you your miracle spring water absolutely free without any obligation. You're next in line for a miracle.
That's Peter Popoff selling holy water. Now let's get into Exodus 30, 1 through 6. And you shall make an altar to burn incense upon. Of shittim wood shall you make it. A cubit shall be the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof. Four square shall it be, and two cubits shall be the height thereof. The horns thereof shall be of the same. And you shall overlay it with pure gold, the top thereof, and the sides thereof round about, and the horns thereof. And you shall make unto it a crown of gold round about. And two golden rings shall you make it under the crown of it. By the two corners thereof, upon the two sides of it shall you make it. And they shall be for places for the staves to bear withal. And you shall make the staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold. And you shall put it before the veil that is by the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with you. Now, why did he use shittim wood out of all the woods that he could have used? He could have used cedar, pine, fir, the acceptable wood mentioned in Jubilees 21 for ascending smoke offerings. Why did the Most High use shittim wood? So if you look at the characteristics and properties of shittim wood, it said it's from the acacia tree. The natural oils and density give strong rot resistance and good performance against insects. Density. Oil, acacia's natural oils and density gives strong rot resistance. That's almost like the Torah, the tabernacle of testimony, the Ark of the Covenant that goes on forever. These laws, statutes, commandments are forever. These ordinances are forever. That they do not rot. And it said it's a good performance against insects. If you look up Joel 2:25, what it says about the locust. Locust is one of the insects used as judgment by the Most High Yahuwah. Exodus 10. Else, if you refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring locusts into your coast, and they shall cover the face of the earth, that one cannot be able to see the earth, and they shall eat the remnant of that which is escaped, which remains unto you from the hail, and shall eat every tree which grows for you out of the field. And they shall fill your houses and the houses of all your servants and the houses of all Mizraim, which neither your fathers nor your fathers' fathers have seen since the day that they were upon the earth unto this day. And he turned himself and went out from Pharaoh. Locusts, the same locusts that are mentioned in Revelation 9, 2 through 5. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun, the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them it was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men who have not the seal of Yahuwah in their foreheads. And to them it was given them that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he strikes a man. Locusts. So if the shittim wood is a good performer against insects, you could almost say the Ark of the Covenant, the Torah, the statutes, the ordinances is also a good defense against the locusts when they are used as judgment. Just like in the first Exodus, it will be like that in the last Exodus or Revelation 9. 2 Chronicles 7, 12 through 14, it says, "And Yahuwah appeared to El Shalomah by night and said unto him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land." So when the Most High sent locusts, as in the Persians, as in the Babylonians, as in the Romans, the Grecians, the Assyrians, when he sent those against us because we sinned, we, through our works and deeds at that time, rotted the Torah. We were not protected by Shittim wood. We weren't protected by the Ark of the Covenant when we disobeyed it. And when we went into captivity or destroyed by locusts, when they left our land, it needed to be healed. So when we went into captivity, all wickedness and sin had to be healed out of that land. Then we came back, rebuilt, planted, and enjoyed the abundance of the land again. So the Most High sees these other nations as locusts, just using them to devour his crop in order for a new fresh crop to grow in its place. Because apparently these locusts eat anything. And when they devour the land, you have to start over again. So the Most High, again, at the end of Revelation, he is going to use locusts against the locusts of these nations. Or see these nations as locusts. And remember I said in the Ark of the Covenant, at Noah's Ark, when the 700,000 men and women came to the door of the ark, started beating on it, and was mad they couldn't get in, the Most High used the animals that did not crouch or bow before Noah. He used them against those who were disobedient, those who would not bow or crouch before Yahuwah. So it all evens itself out. It all balances itself out in this beautiful parable and symbology of locust and Shittim wood. Now, the anointing oil that the brother Jean-Marc brought up, Exodus 30, 23 through 29, "Take also unto you principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon half so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassia, 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of oil olive, a hin. And you shall make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be a holy anointing oil." So people out here are not even making the real anointing oil. And that's also to say that backs up scripture as well. But before I get into that, we should not make this oil. I looked it up. I was like, ooh, this is something we can make. But it says not to even duplicate this oil. It says, "And you shall anoint the tabernacle of the assembly therewith, and the ark of the testimony, and the table, and all his vessels, and all the menorah, and his vessels, and the altar of incense, and the altar of the ascending smoke offering with all his vessels, and the laver, and his foot. And you shall sanctify them, that they may be most holy. Whatsoever touches them shall be holy." So they use the anointing oil basically on the table, on the menorah, on the vessels. They use it on things, not on man. 31 through 36, it says, "And you shall speak unto the children of Yisrael, saying, this shall be a holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured, neither shall ye make any other like it. After the composition of it, it is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. Whosoever compounds any like it, or whosoever puts any of it upon a stranger, shall even be cut off from his people." That is how we make the anointing oil. It's a combination of things. So I know that the anointing oil that they use today in these Christian churches, it can't be the same compound as what they're doing in scripture. That's just why they probably use fake holy water or holy spring water. It's the reason why they do that. The Most High is not allowing anybody to tamper with his pure righteousness. This is why he allowed men's minds to be alienated from him, as it's mentioned in Jubilees. The Most High is making sure his name is not profane and his ways aren't profaned. So when you think about it in the New Testament, we use the water as a cleansing from sin, as a symbology of cleansing ourselves from sin. The anointing of the oil was only meant for the Levite priests. So it says in 34, and Yahuwah said unto Moshe, take unto you sweet spices, stacte and oncha, and galbanum. These sweet spices with pure frankincense of each shall they be a like weight. And you shall make it a perfume, a confection after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. And you shall beat some of it very small and put of it before the testimony in the tabernacle of the assembly where I will meet with you. It shall be unto you most holy. So the Most High got anointing oils to spray around the things to make it smell sweet and good. He even has perfume, like a room spray. Where do you think we get room sprays from? I mean, like I said, man, if you truly read scriptures and you shred it down to what's done today to, you know, go back to scripture, it's right here. Remember you used to, you know, the potpourri, all these little things that they combine to make sprays and aerosol sprays. It comes from the Most High. It comes from scripture. This is Most High making basically a room spray for the temple. Oils, essential, or the oils that we light in our houses or incense we burn in our houses today. Where did we get that from? We think we created this? We create nothing. Absolutely nothing. Nothing comes from any, you know, nothing comes from nothing. Something doesn't come from nothing. Only the Most High can bring nothing into something, is what I'm saying. So we get it from him. And we walk around this world as if we created through the pride. This is why he hates pride. This is why he hates the haughty mind. Because we truly do not give him his due. Because he's created these ordinances and statutes for us that we have commercialized into something completely different. Oh, you took a number two? Here's a poop spray for that. Oh, your house don't smell good? Here's some Febreze. Oh, your clothes smelling a certain way? Here, Febreze it. Oh, you know, you're into, what, I don't know what they do with the New Age spiritualists with the, you know, when they overly use incense. Where do you think they got that from? They just created the New Age spirituality, and this is what they do. You know, they've been burning stuff and lighting incense on this day and that day, or on a full moon or a new moon. Like, where do they think they get this stuff from? They get it from the Most High Yahuwah, who has done it. All these other nations really aren't talked about when they do their gods. They aren't talked about that this is what they do. It's always what we've done for the Most High Yahuwah that we changed into doing with other gods. Pouring out drink offerings for the Queen of Heaven, or pouring out or weeping for Tammuz, or going up to the highest hill and sacrificing in the hills, or sacrificing children in the valleys. We've done it all. All that people are doing now, they're going to eventually get destroyed for, we have been doing in scripture, and we have gone into captivity for doing it. But it truly goes back to the Most High's righteousness and pureness when he brought these statutes and ordinances to us. So to answer my brother, I don't think they're separated, but I do think, you know, the Christian church and these religions have separated it from its natural meaning. And the reason why we don't really do anointing oil, we do healing oil, but we don't even know where those oils come from. And there's no Christian pastor who can make anything holy, not the water, not the oil, not nothing. So when you go to the New Testament, no one was being anointed for anything, because I think that's not where Yahushua was going with it. He was about repenting, using the symbolic gesture of being immersed in water as a cleansing for sins. Not merely being anointed for anything. He is the only anointed one. He came in to be the anointing oil. He was the one that could heal the sick, that could open the eyes of the blind, that could save the lame, that could heal the broken. He was the anointing oil. So there was no point for anointing anybody, not the apostles, not the disciples, no one. He was the anointing oil. So before Yahushua, they had anointing oil to set up kings, the anointing oil to heal. There was no Yahushua at the time. So having a pure and holy anointing oil makes much more sense, the same way they were sacrificing animals for sin. Then the Most High said, all right, I have to bring my son in here to show you how it's done, to show you how you can achieve immortality by doing it through the works and deeds of the Ruach and not the flesh, which was sacrificing and making anointing oil to put on people or put on things. I mean, you could buy without making the same ointment or the same anointing oil ointment, you could get like pieces of it. Like, for instance, cassia, they have cassia oil. If you wanted to use that, like if you wanted to get in to like anointing your wife's feet or just rubbing your wife's feet or anoint like her hands or even praying for your children and using anointing oil in there, like if you want to use like a small point of that for your own thing to see where it gets you, then lay that on the altar of the Most High Yahuwah and ask him in prayer. I mean, I saw cassia oil and I was almost tempted to get it, but then I wanted to make the whole anointing oil myself, and the Most High is not gonna allow me to do that, I don't think. So I was gonna get the spices, the myrrh, and cinnamon, and you know, and grind it up and do it myself. I think it would be disrespectful, because obviously the Most High is going to bring back these ordinances and statutes of the anointing oil for his purpose. I think that goes or pairs nicely with when he says there's going to be joy, there's going to be healing, I'm going to send down rain, like the things that he's going to do to ensure the health and joy and happiness of his people his way. So when it's time to come back to the one temple, the one altar, the one offering, the feast days, the anointing oil, I think he is going to be the one that resurrect that using his servant David to put everything back in order. And I would rather the Most High do it so we can see it from his perspective instead of trying to do it from our perspective. And we muddle it, you know. We're going to always fail trying to duplicate his righteousness or duplicate what he told the Israelites to do. I mean, he gave them these ordinances and statutes for a reason, because they were well equipped to truly understand them. We are still waking up out of this world. We're still somewhat either babes, teenagers, or young adults in this walk, and we just haven't, you know, been exposed to even the measurements of doing, you know, some of these things on a grander scale. Like, you know, obviously livestock, like none of us have livestock to just be offering off, you know, lambs and ox and cutting the animals ourselves and then taking out the, you know, the intestines and organs that come with all these. Like, I mean, it's very meticulous of what they did in those days when it came to removing certain, you know, organs out of the animals before they offered them. I mean, I don't think we're ready for that, but that's why we get it from the store and we're just preparing ourselves. I said before, this is like the ground level of coming into learning how to do it better. But it has to be the ground level. It has to start as a mustard seed. Now, if it's not in you to serve the Most High the way he wants to be served as that mustard seed, you're going to struggle when it comes to you calling on him when it's your time to need something from him. Will he turn his back on you? Or will he say, okay, I'm going to give you just as much as you've given me. If it's nothing, you get nothing. I mean, Yahushua made that parable about the servant who took the money and buried it in the ground and did not double it. But all the others, the guy who was given five, he doubled it. The guy who was given 10, he doubled it. So the guy who was given 10, he was given more. The guy who was given five, he was given more. But the guy who buried it in the field and brought it back to him, said, hey, I was scared because, you were a straight man and you do not. He something like you don't sow where you reap or something like that. But he didn't do anything with that money. He didn't double it. So he will get nothing on top of nothing he already has. Even that will be taken away from it, it says. So where you start your mustard seed and where you start at the ground level, that is truly on you. Really, on you. I think people have stopped wasting their time trying to convince people that this is the true path and convince people that this is the way they should go. Because we really don't have any power over that. The Most High either brings it to you or chooses not to bring it to you. Or bring it to you in the time to prove your faith. So either I don't know if to be scared for you or to be happy for you. I really don't know because I don't know any of your guys' life other than the guests I've had on the show. But I'm saying if you want to protect yourself, especially when you see or look around you, what's going on in this world, how people's kids are being sacrificed or used as a ritual, I'm telling you, it's not just on Hollywood's platform anymore. It's not just done in the sports industry. It's not done in people in your own neighborhood. I mean, look at the whole Nolan Xavier Wells incident. People think this is a natural thing because they're not hip to this entire nation going into Baal worship, Canaanite worship, Moloch worship. That's where it's going. We don't know the connections of Freemasonry in our own neighborhoods. They're not just walking around here with the square and compass stamped to their foreheads or on their hands so we know who they are. Most likely is we seeing bumper stickers, we seeing rings, we seeing t-shirts, we see hats, but not on the grand scale where we could ever understand and prepare what's going to happen to people around us. I mean, you think Nolan Xavier Wells' family woke up that day on July 4th and let their son go off on that boating trip and thought that he wasn't going to ever come back? I don't think they was ever prepared for that. And if they were, then they have something to do with it as well. Just like if you look at Trayvon Martin's family. Now, that Trayvon Martin was getting in trouble. And he was seen to be as a troublemaker, where his other brother, the youngest one, seems to be the most studious one. The fruit, the righteous fruit of that family. Which is why he probably couldn't have been touched. But his son, because he was a troublemaker, was easily touched. His father being a Prince Hall Freemason, and his Masonic Lodge is out here in Fort Lauderdale, he offered up that troublemaker. Offered him up to George Zimmerman. If you look up any pictures of George Zimmerman in court when he was fat, he would put his hands, his thumbs, in a pyramid. So they set this all up. And then they brought in Benjamin Crump, who was also a Prince Hall Freemason via Omega Sci-Fi. So he didn't win against George Zimmerman. He didn't win. I don't know why we think Benjamin Crump won or is a winner. He didn't win against George Zimmerman. George Zimmerman is free. He didn't spend any time in jail. I mean, he didn't get prosecuted where he had to spend time in jail. As soon as that case was over, he was out trying to sell the gun or sell memorabilia linked to Trayvon Martin. And no one did anything about it. He walks around here fine. Just like Casey Anthony walks around here fine. She done got a new man, a new baby and all that after what she done did. So when the family hired Benjamin Crump, you know what time it is. You know exactly what time it is. He is going to gatekeep and manage speaking in that 1860s old slave Negro talk. And he's not going to offer any information on this case because he's getting paid to manage it. Just like all the other cases he has gotten that were based off a black man being killed from a white cop, a black man being killed by a white cop. And he's not even going after the cop because the cop does a a couple of days or a couple of months in prison, but they are after the civil suit money. It's big money. It's basically reverse blood sacrificing. You kill the person first, then you get rewarded afterwards. But you set it up in a way that you make sure that you go after the civil suit and not the prosecution of the police officers. And only some police officers have, you know, suffered jail. Like, they have to obviously go in jail. But they really want the civil suit. They want the city or the state to pay for a person being wrongfully killed because the money flows upward. It comes out of the family's pockets. Before it comes out of the family's pockets, it goes into Benjamin Crump's. It goes out of his pocket. It goes into York Rite, Scottish Rite Freemasonry. Out of that, it goes into Zionism. After that, it goes to the Roman Catholic Church. After that, it goes into Satan. So it all goes, the money flows upward. It's a reverse pyramid scheme. This is why they do it. When they want money, they can't wait for a situation to arise where they use the Fraternal Order of Police to sacrifice somebody, and then the family sues. Then the family is getting told, like, hey, you're going to get some money if we are allowed to kill your son. So somebody is signing that person's or that family member's death warrant before it happens, and then the police shoots on this person. Then they get caught, or they get suspended, and they get moved around to the police department, and then the city pays for it, and then they take the money out of that pot. I mean, look at Philando Castile. When he died, who got on mainstream media, who got on television talking about how good of a kid he was? It was his uncle, and his uncle is a Prince Hall Freemason. So I knew what time it was when Nolan Xavier Wells went missing with a group full of white folks. And the thing is, now Negroes are online, and white people are doing this too, getting online talking about how you should never be the only black person in a group full of white people. And I think that's a stupid, asinine theology to start propagating. And you just do nothing but instigating this race war in a time that we need to start learning how to barter with each other. Because when this economic system crashes, they're going to sit back and watch us destroy each other instead of us doing what we should have been doing, which is bartering with each other to overthrow this system, to make sure we all survive. But I know that's not going to happen. Most High said in prophecies in Ezra and Baruch that the brother will be against brother, and everybody's going to be at each other. The neighbor is going to be against neighbor, and everybody's going to go through each other's houses and rifle through them and throw out the righteous ones and throw out everybody, just like that scene in Dark Knight Rises. When they locked off the city, burned the bridges, and all of a sudden, they were having courts and going up into the rich people's houses and throwing them out. It's going to be like that. They're already getting ready to unleash that little doctrine for it to happen, that spell for it to happen. So he went out there with a couple of white boys, and now, mind you, we don't know the family members or whoever's involved with Freemasonry. We don't know who's enacting that sacrifice through those kids. We don't. And y'all don't even know those faces good enough to, if you see these kids walking down the street, you wouldn't be able to know who they were, especially if you fast forward to 5 or 10 years from now, because you wouldn't care. So they deactivated their Instagrams and came back with his phone. So if they came back with his phone, then I know his Instagram is already deleted. Pictures are already deleted, and they're hiding certain things. So you only get a managed representation of him. You only get a couple of videos. Now, again, we get another murder amongst teenagers where nobody has any cell phone footage. Just like the Carmelo Anthony case, nobody had any cell phone footage, but a security footage that was way, 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 way back on across the stadium field. We only see him moving and then running away and then coming back. You don't see anything else. For somebody who supposedly stabbed somebody in the heart, killed him, and he runs and jogs off, then comes back. And then you don't see anybody running. You don't see anybody screaming. You don't see anything. You don't see any real commotion. But they want you to believe that this is the real security footage of that incident. So we get to Nolan Xavier Wells. We don't see any cell phone footage. But again, somebody in a boat making a panoramic view of a bunch of teens on the shore that they say supposedly arguing. But that argument is not heard from the shore. It's heard from people in the water or people on the boats next to them. So they can't even readily identify whose voice they hear on this video. But supposedly you could see him walk with this girl. And this girl had one little testimony and that was it. So she either lying or she's withholding stuff, or anybody else is starting to withhold. So they came back, you know, back home, deactivated their Instagram accounts. Even the woman whose son, even the woman who's a judge, her son, her son was there. She deactivated her Facebook and she deactivated her Instagram. Because they know the court of public opinion are going to tear down anybody that they follow and tear down their children, those who weren't even there. They're going to tear them down and find out their social media handle. So that's what you would normally do. Because they know the court of opinion, it means everything. Because well after this case is done, the court of public opinion will stay with them forever, really. People are going to make all types of sly comments and sarcastic and satire comments long after this case is done. So they're trying to protect their image. And they're going to protect the image of these three or four white boys. It just so happens that in the midst of this incident, that there was a white family traveling down a river. And they happened to video record an incident where a black child was in the water. Let's say a teenager was in the water who looks similar. His hairstyle is similar to Nolan and Xavier Wells, wearing a life vest, standing in knee-deep water, getting taunted and yelled at by what you hear is white boys on the inland, which means they're not even in the water and they're not crossed the river. But yet, these white boys are yelling at this black teenager in the water standing up that he can't swim, that he should swim, that he sucks that he can't swim, that he's worthless that he can't swim. This is all done on purpose, because since you have no information about Nolan Xavier Wells outside of your theories and your narratives that they tell you, you have concrete evidence that white boys are racist against black teenagers when they're in the midst of a group of them. That a bunch of white boys will make a black child feel insecure about not being able to swim, and you would think this is how Nolan Xavier Wells went through. Now you know how he feels of what he went through. And that's why they released this video of this so-called white family that this happens to be video recording, and they hear these arguments perfectly. And then they stop and back up. And then this teenager has to swim in the middle of the river to catch a ride when he could have just gotten out of the water and walked along the land, walked along the shore. You don't ever see these white boys screaming at this black child, which I think is on purpose. So that tells me they set this up so people could correlate what happened to this teenager to what happened to Nolan Xavier Wells. And then people go back. Like I said, numerology always plays a part in this. They went back 7 years to the whole Tamla Horsford incident. She was a person of color who was hanging around 6 or 7 white women. And then she was the only one supposedly got drunk, went up on the balcony on the second floor, and fell off and died. But the conflicting stories was somebody went in and out of that house at the time where she supposedly had fallen off this balcony. So that case was done. It happened November 4th, 2018. 11 plus 4 plus the 18 is 33. 7 years ago. So fast forward 7 years to July 4th. Horn Island, I mean, damn, you might as well just call it Devil Horn Island. Horn Island has a numeric property of 36 in Chaldean. 36, 666. It also has a numeric property of 33 out of septenary. Septenary means to count from 1 to 7 and you go back down until you reach the end of the alphabet. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 7, 6, 3, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. 1, 2, 3, like it goes that way. And that at Horn Island adds up to 33. What I found that his birthday was August 9th. So before his 19th birthday, he dies July 4th, 36 days before it. 666. He died at age 18. The word phrase 18 spelled out in Chaldean is 33. So it, like I said, Anytime a Prince Hall Freemason comes in to manage this case, I know from jump that it had Masonic hands all into it. And again, they want to keep pushing this race war, so they chose a sacrifice, whether the parents were in on it too, because why would they choose Benjamin Crump? I mean, there's other lawyers. This is like almost a shut and open and shut case. You could get any lawyer. You could get a public defender to go and get the evidence of the phones, and you would be able to ask all of the children that were there the same questions, you know, that Benjamin Crump would ask. You don't even need like a Johnny Cochran on this. This is pretty much a basic case. So either the family is in on it, which means they already signed his death warrant in order for them to achieve some success or even money from it. Or somebody that they went to, not just that woman's, that kid's mom who's a judge, that somebody around there is a Freemason. Somebody's out there going to get paid for this. Somebody's going to get set up for this. So if you think of the whole Metcalf, the Carmelo Anthony against Metcalf, is he actually dead? Did somebody sign his warrant? Was the father a Freemason? Obviously, we already was exposed to Trayvon Martin's dad was a Freemason, and he offered up his son. Like I said, y'all don't know who lives around you. You don't know. And they're not walking around here with square compass logos on their foreheads and on their hands. Y'all don't know if they even looking at y'all. Some of y'all are friends with these people. Y'all have no idea if they are looking at y'all for a come up. Like I said, it's gone beyond the stages of Hollywood. It's gone beyond the fields of the sacrificing fields of sports industry. It's gone far beyond politics now. It's seeping into people that you walk around every single day. That's where that is funneling. It's seeping. Baal worship is seeping into everybody's minds, especially when it comes to making money. People are going to give up whoever for money. People do not want to suffer through hyperinflation. They don't want to suffer through evictions. Their pride is going to be on high. They do not want to be looked at as less than. They don't want to be looked at as failures. They don't want to be looked at as needing help. Their minds and their ruach are reprobated. They are alienated from the Most High Yahuwah. They do not want to trust in his blessings, his grace, his ordinance, his statutes. Like I said, the doors of the ark are starting to close. Until people feel that first raindrop, that is when they're going to want to change. But until then, they're going to try to get it as fast as they can get it. That's why, like I said, the programming and conditioning that they do on people is amazing. It is. The whole point of that, the whole point of the movie They Live, when you saw that long, drawn-out fight, even when I was a kid and I watched that movie, I never understood why that fight scene was so long. It was long. But when I hear the commentary from it, it's the reason why that fight scene was long was because it wanted to demonstrate as a metaphor how hard it is to wake somebody up, to get somebody to see what you see. I mean, damn, what was so hard about putting on the glasses? Like, even if I didn't believe him, I would have put on the glasses just to see real quick. But it showed as people's minds truly don't want their eyes opened, and they will fight to keep them closed. Fight to keep them closed. And this is the time that we're in right now. And this is why we worship. This is why we praise. This is why we do all the statutes and ordinances, so we are protected. Just like we're putting the blood of the Lamb on our doors, but we're doing it through obedience. That's what we're doing it. We're doing it for obedience. We're being saved through obedience while everybody else is being disobedient. Like I said, the world is ripe to be purged. It's ripe to be salvaged and pillaged. All these people who have stored up goods and services and resources for all this time through wicked means, or even not through wicked means, but just not being obedient to the Most High and doing it their own way, it's ready to be ripe to explode. That balloon is going to eventually pop. It's like a pinata. Over time, the Most High is beating this pinata. And at the right time, when you want and need something, because if you're obedient to the Most High Yahuwah, that pinata is going to burst all over top of you. Those blessings are going to pour onto your household. That protection is going to come upon your hedge. But these people truly don't understand what's going on in this day and age. People are willing to sacrifice anybody. Anybody. They don't even care if it's their children anymore. Because they've been programmed and conditioned to see it. Nothing but sacrificing. Imagine you, so all you do is you watch on the news of people dying and getting paid for it. People dying, getting paid for it. People dying, and getting paid for it. Eventually, that does something to you. When your resources start coming up short, when your check is losing some numbers, you start thinking like, damn, I could have another kid. Or you start thinking, if I can get this money, shoot, I don't have to worry about this kid anymore. We've done the best we can with him. I mean, his last name, Wells, doesn't fit his mother's last name or his father's last name. So it makes it seem that this kid had a different father. The grandfather name is Wells. But the father isn't, his name is not Wells, it's Wansley. And the mother's name is Wells Wansley. So I don't even know if that's her maiden name that he has. So that means that's not his real father. So if she's trying to, you know, come into this new marriage, she's going to want to do something different away from her son. I'm not saying this is the narrative, but I'm just saying it's a theory. I mean, how many times have we seen women try to kill or men try to kill their children from another marriage just so they can run off with their mistress? I mean, it happened with that Mormon case, I think down in Utah, whatever, how this dude really destroyed his daughter and son so he could run away with his mistress. And he was a Mormon at that. So these are just the signs of the times that we're in. You're going to be amazed. Y'all going to see people with this NIL money and college and all that. You're going to start seeing that too. You're going to start seeing parents come up missing when kids get an insane amount of NIL money. You're going to see kids already getting ready to offer up their parents for millions of dollars. That's the reason why they started paying at college athletes. If you pay college athletes, you pay these young teenage kids, you don't know what they're willing to give up just to be a part of Freemasonry, York Rite or Prince Hall. If you get to the kids, you can undoubtedly get to the children. If you get to the children, you could make everything from there crooked and the branch would just destroy itself from the root. That's what Satan's after. He's after destroy the root. He don't want just the branches. He wants the whole entire tree. He wants the root of it. If he could get to the root, even better. But this is why he's going through the father into the mother and trying to go into the children. And the younger and younger he goes, the younger and younger he's going to be able to destroy whatever comes after. That means you're destroying any chances of these children growing up and producing children or producing a righteous seed to go to heaven. And that's what he's trying to stop. He's like, if my fate is to be in hell, I'm taking all that I can with me. And the Most High is going to allow it. He's going to allow it. That's why we as parents truly have to make our children aware of their actions, aware of the Torah, and aware of being obedient to the Most High Yahuwah. And it comes to a time where the younger, the better. The younger, the better. I mean, look at our lives when we were younger. We were just so free, not understanding nothing, didn't know who pedophiles were, some of us, not understanding sacrificing, not understanding any danger with our ruach or spirit or soul. We just didn't care. And now we're living in a time that we have to tell and teach our children about the dangers of sin. Not being in a group of white men or a group of black kids as the opposite race or whatever, but truly sin. Because that is why he was led into that situation. And being 18 years old, they already said he was underage drinking. I don't know why they even brought that up. But the fact that he was underage drinking, I don't think that's I don't know if that's really a sin. You know, I'm pretty sure they drink wine, you know, well before they were 21 in those days. But we don't know what else his mind could have been alienated from the Most High with. We don't know. But obviously he didn't have the hedge of protection because he became sacrificed. So that's between him and the Most High Yahuwah. So if you don't want just your children to go through that situation, I suggest you start making them aware. Because what I do know is they're not out here sacrificing people who are obeying the Torah. I mean, why would they send you straight to heaven? You know what I'm saying? Why would they send you straight to heaven? Why would Satan be like, okay, this person is following the Torah. Let me send him on a speed train right to the Most High so he can get blessed. No. He'd rather weigh on you by destroying this world in hopes that you'll come to him by abandoning your faith. He hopes to have you abandon your faith. But why would he come after and sacrifice anybody that's obeying the Most High Yahuwah and send them right to heaven? He ain't trying to do all that. So start having your children understand that as well.